came back. Praise the Lord, amen. All right, if you would turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Hope tonight's a help to you. I praise the Lord for the three souls getting saved. It's just God. That's all it is. And just try to, you know, be submissive to Him. I admit that I fall short many a times, and I just wish God to use me more. I'm not trying to say that to act all spiritual. I mean, I really want to be used of God. But, you know, you get in the way sometimes, right? And I know none of you do. Pray for me, amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 6. This ain't going to be a long sermon. As long as you say amen, I'll make it short. Amen, amen. Now, I have some commentaries back there. It's a verse-by-verse commentary on the book of Jonah. I pray that you buy one. It'll be an encouragement to you and a blessing. They're practical. They're devotional. They're not really deep doctrinal. I'm not against doctrine. I know that we're to teach sound doctrine, but doctrine doesn't do a whole lot of things when your marriage is falling apart and the kids are wayward, so I like to make things practical. Just this is how it is, and just try to help you walk closer with the Lord. And the books are $6 a piece. I don't think they're a lot for the time and the hours I put in. And, you know, that's if I like you. Now, if I don't like you, it's $10 a piece. Amen. Now, I'm just joking. Amen. But Ecclesiastes chapter 6, we'll read verse 12. The Bible says, "For who knoweth what is good for man this life, all the days of his vain life which he spanneth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" Now, God knows what's good for you tonight. And God knows what's better for you than you know for yourself. And the Bible specifically tells you what's good for you. And I'm going to preach to you some things about tonight, what's good for you. And how the sermon is, it's just good for you. It's just good for you. Let's pray. And Lord, I love you, God, and I thank you for this church. I thank you for an opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I thank you for saving me. And I thank you for giving me a good wife, healthy kids, a call to the ministry. And Lord, I know that I'm not worthy to preach this book, God. Lord, it just amazes me how you even call me and then even use me. I thank you for the souls that were saved this morning. And Lord, I pray that you do it tonight. Lord, who knows, God, maybe someone lost here tonight. It's got to be a blessing to end the service with someone getting saved. And Lord, we just pray that you get all the glory and honor for what's said and done tonight. Help me not to get in the way. Help me to think clearly. Help me to be a blessing. And I pray all these things for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. First of all, first thing we'll say tonight, it's good to be saved. I mean, it's good to know where you're going before you die. That's why Jesus Christ says in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I remember door knocking one time in South Africa, and I got the witnessing to this lady. I said, "Where are you going when you die?" She goes, "That's between me and God." I said, "No, the Bible says you're to confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus." Amen. And she said, "Well, you know, I don't believe in that stuff about being born again." I said, "Whether you believe it or not, lady, the Bible says you must be born again." She said, "That's just your interpretation." I said, "Look, let's look at it in John chapter 3. Ye must be born again." I said, "What is so difficult about that? Ye must be born again." She goes, "I don't need to be born again. Have a nice day." And I said, "By the way, before you close the door, ye must be born again." Amen. You know what? I see people all the time. I see people, "Well, I've been baptized as a baby and all that, and I'm a good, you know, I'm a good person and all that. I never killed anybody. You know, I keep the commandments. I live a good life. I go to church." I was talking to a guy in West Pennsylvania and witnessing him at a garage and all that because of some things I had some issues with, the truck. And I was talking to him. I said, "Listen," I said, "compare your life to the life of Osama bin Laden. How's it look?" And I'm setting him up now. He goes, "Pretty good." I said, "Compare to Hitler. How's it look?" He goes, "Pretty good." I said, "Compare to Jeffrey Dahmer. How's it look?" He says, "Pretty good." I said, "That's not how God's going to judge you at the judgment. He's going to compare you to Jesus Christ." And I said, "Jesus Christ never lusted, he never lied, he never stole, he never cursed." I said, "He never thought a filthy thought." I said, "How do you look compared to that?" He goes, "Not good." And I said, "Well, at least you're honest now. Now we can go from there." I said, "You're going to be compared to Jesus Christ today when God should judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, the Bible says." I said, "In order for you to get into heaven without being born again, you got to live a sinless, righteous, perfect life from time you were born to time you die." I said, "The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." I told him Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, the Bible says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? And I'm going to tell you tonight, the good works just don't work. The Bible says we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, so no flesh be justified in his sight. You don't need to be better tonight. You need to turn over a new leaf and all that. You need to be born again. You need to be bathed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. You know, you don't spell the word tonight by the word salvation by the word do. You spell the word salvation by the word done. I said this morning, it is finished, was His cry. You don't get to heaven head first tonight. You get to heaven heart first. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's only one way. And I'm telling you tonight, it's good to be saved. And it's good to know that you're saved. And I'm going to ask you tonight, do you know for sure where you are going when you die? Paul in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That emptiness you may feel in your heart tonight is because you're not a child of God. You have never been born again, because Christ does not live in you. That's why you need to be born again. You need to ask Christ to come to your heart. The hope of glory. That you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's good news tonight. You can be saved tonight from eternal hell. Have a home in heaven. All your sins forgiven. You don't have to be a child of the devil no more. You can be a child of God. You don't have to be a servant of sin. You can be a servant of the Savior. Praise God for salvation tonight. But I'm going to tell you now, you need to make that decision. And only you can make that decision where you're going to spend eternity. Well, you know, preacher, I had people tell me, well, I pray with the preacher. What did you pray? Don't know. Man, you got to know what you did to get saved. Praying a prayer doesn't save you. A preacher can't save you. The church can't save you. Nothing can save you but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we got a bunch of people say, well, you know, I'm okay. You know, everybody's saved in America. You ask them. And you know what? They don't ask you, well, do you remember a time in your life where you realized you were on your way to hell? No, I didn't think I was that bad. Oh, man, you ain't saved then. I realized I was going to hell. You got to repent, the Bible says. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what will you do with Jesus Christ tonight? You're either going to accept Him or reject Him. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, He says, he that is not with me is against me. You want to have a second chance. Your preacher, I've heard this for years and years. I remember witnessing up in New York. I was door knocking with Gospel Life Bible Baptist Church, Pastor Vince Cerudino, knocking on the doors with one of his men. And I got to talking to a guy. He looks at me and says, young man, listen. I'm 80 years old. He said, I've been in the church for 40 years. He says, I'm a Baptist and all that and everything. He says, I don't need that born again stuff because I'm too old to worry about that now. You know what that means? You can sit in a Bible-believing church like this and still go to hell. I've had people tell me, you know, I've had teenagers. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to talk average salvation, but they'll say, I don't know when I got saved. Hey, Mom, when I get saved? You need to make sure you get saved. They're trusting on the testimony of their parents of salvation. I ain't counting on nobody else but my own, amen, as far as my own testimony, when I got saved and how I got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you ready to meet God tonight? So I ain't ready. Well, boast not thyself for tomorrow. See, you might have a second chance, you know. Why don't you get saved tonight? You can get saved tonight. It's good to be saved, amen. Number two, look at Genesis chapter 2. I only got 15 more points, amen. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. People tell me I preach too fast. I say you listen too slow, amen. Genesis chapter 2. I'm from Philadelphia, man. Can any good thing come out of Philly, amen? Amen. Amen. I mean, some guys, they speak real slow, and I guess that's, I don't know, they're calling or something, but they put me to sleep, amen. One more time hearing a guy, he was preaching, you know, really enthusiastic. I say that with tongue in cheek. He was wounded for our trench. The whole time he preached, I mean, man, I want to die, man. Amen. I was being wounded. I want to die, amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Listen, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help me. For I don't think it's good to be married. Now, I know it's not looked at as a good thing this evening and all that in different places. But a man needs companionship. You know why a man needs a woman around? If they weren't around, men would stink and never wash their socks and all that. We'd be a total mess, amen? Man, I'm telling you, we need a woman. That's what God said. He said, it ain't good for him to be alone. He's going to get in trouble, amen? I thank God for my wife. You know, it's sad that most marriages have no joy. And they're all bitter and they're all frustrated and they're all aggravated with one another and they're unforgiving and all that. I'm going to ask you now, are you glad you're married? You know, not all men are blessed with a good wife. You know, some men got a wife that nags and complains and all that. I mean, thank God I ain't got that kind of wife, amen. I keep her heavily medicated, amen. But, amen. Amen. But you know what? Your marriage should be fun tonight. I don't care how much older you get, you should be able to laugh. Amen. You should have a good time. You should be able to tickle one another, wrestle one another, hit each other with a cane, whatever you got to do. I mean, if you got to drop kick the wife when she comes in through the doors to have fun, amen. But you know what? I'll tell you tonight, God hates tonight fornication. And you know what? It's a sin to have sex before marriage and outside of marriage. It's called adultery, and before marriage, it is called fornication. And God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. How many teenage girls have messed up and said, well, you know, he just loves me. And I'm going to say right now, you better marry for character. You better make sure that man you're going to marry is going to take care of you, because if he's a bum, you're going to be working day and night while he sits at home drinking beer. How many Christian women have I met have made a mistake and they found out 6 months after they're married their husband's a porn addict? Too late! But see, they never asked the preacher for her counsel. Well, I'm going to get married. You know, listen, I'm going to say, it is not the will of God for you to marry somebody outside the Baptist faith. Say, preacher, no. Let me give you an example. Watch. You think, man, you're so hard. I ain't, like I said, I ain't nuts. But listen, let me tell you something. Is it right for you to marry a Muslim? How are you going to raise your children? They all smell like garlic and curry and all that, wearing a towel around their head? All right, now, come on now. Lighten up. They're all camel jockeys, eh? Listen. Now, or how are you going to raise your children? To be a Catholic? Knowing that you're a Baptist? How many Baptists have I met who married a woman, and she was Catholic, converted to their faith? And their kids are going to go to hell! Hey, I mean, are you going to raise them to be a Mormon? You're going to raise them to be a Jehovah's Witness? You're going to raise them to be an atheist? I told my kids, listen, marry in your own religion. Don't marry anybody outside the Baptist faith. You know why? Because we're right. Amen. If I was not right, I would not be a Baptist. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to try to be arrogant and proud and all that. But listen, you need to marry that person because, listen, for their man, beauty will fade. That beauty will become a beast. Amen. And with that right now, listen. Listen, ladies, you say, man, this guy I see, he's so good looking. All of them are good looking in their 20s. Rico Suave, all look good. But I'm going to tell you right now, that hunk that you look at will become a chunk. And this right here will drop right here. And you say, what's my husband going to look like? I'll tell you, young girls, what's he going to look like? Like his dad. And when his dad sits on the couch watching TV, that's your husband. That's your husband in 30 years. No, but he's so wonderful. Just remember that. Just remember that. Amen. What I'm telling you tonight is don't be in such a rush to get married. Never get married out of the will of God. You'll always regret it. Never marry a lost person. Possibly you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But we're in love. No, here's one time a lady told my wife in South Africa, she goes, I believe the Lord wants me to marry this man. She goes, he's lost. We led her to the Lord. She goes, but he's lost. And she says, well, you know, the Lord gave me a scripture. She said, no joke. What thou doest, do thou quickly. Now, you know that? I talk about Jesus and Judas betraying them. And my wife brought that to her attention. She says, she got shocked. She was like that. She walked away, split our church, by the way. We went from 27 people to 7 people in 3 weeks with her. But what's she doing now? She ain't happy. Your choice. How many times? Well, you know, you always need to, let's tell you right now, you need God's counsel on it, your pastor's counsel, and your parents' counsel. And if all three say no, don't do it! And I don't care if you're intimately involved and messed up, don't do it! Break it off! And the two got out of the will of God. Now they're all miserable. Now they want marital counseling. Well, you didn't want God in the first place. God wasn't the head of your home. You didn't invite him to the wedding like they did at Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2. Now you want the Lord to fix it up. Bible says, flee also youthful lust. Bible says, flee fornication. Bible says, free love, embrace fornication, safe sex. There is no safe sex outside the marriage bed. Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. You know, and I've been in some churches where I can't believe it. Like I said, I'm not a pastor. I know it. I'm not here to tell you how to run the church. But I can't believe it when there are people that know that you could tell these two teenagers are messing around and they're pawing all over one another in the pew. Cut it out! Get your hands off her. Well, I don't like that. Don't worry, some guy will be pawing all over your daughter one day because you reap what you sow. Amen. If he loves you, he won't paw on you. Amen. Predators prey on you. Amen. And people live together just to shack up and save money and all that. Then they dump the person they're with. In the last days, marriage is looked at as a bondage. And people are not getting married. Why? Because it costs too much to get a divorce. Marriages are only going to work when Christ is the head of your home. I'm going to ask you now, are you happily married? Are you about to get a divorce? You keep bringing up each other's past mistakes. One guy said, me and my wife, he said, every time we argue, she gets historical. He said, you mean historical? You know, hysterical. She says historical because she keeps bringing up the past. Amen. Amen. And you know, you need to learn to forgive and forget. I'm going to tell you why marriages end in divorce. There's only one reason. Unforgiveness. Say, no, at this time. No, the only reason why marriages end in divorce is because of unforgiveness. If you can learn to forgive, then you can stay married. That's the counseling session, amen? Save you $150. You know, one out of two Christian marriages now end in divorce. Amen? You gotta be careful. If you got some marital problems tonight, you go to your pastor and say, what do I do? Swallow your pride. I ain't got no problems and all that. I don't like you saying that because you're proud. So what will happen is 6 months down the road, you get a divorce. I had a guy call me up. He said, 6 months ago when you came through, he said, my pastor told me to call you. He said, 6 months ago when you preached something about this marriage thing, he said, I should have came then. Now my wife is leaving me. You think, what do you think I do? Just pull this out of a hat like some lucky rabbit out of a... Amen? God has preached this. It's good to be married, amen? I thank God for my wife. I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm going to ask you tonight, do you have a spouse that's supportive? You have a spouse that's caring, you have a spouse that's loyal, you have a spouse that's faithful and loving and all that, you better thank God for them because you don't know how long you got them. Oh, now you want to say, I love you, honey, and all that. Now you want to give them flowers at a casket. Should have given flowers before. Should have told them all the wonderful things you thought about them before they die. You know, it's even better for you mentally to be married. People who are single have a 7.5% higher chance of being put into an insane asylum than those who are married, amen? You know, Samson and Solomon, they have never had a good wife. Their wives stole their heart from God and caused them in an early grave. How many men have I seen not go to Bible school or quit Bible school or not go into the ministry to make a rebellious wife happy? You put God first, your wife will follow. And I sometimes wonder, you know, why is it that some wives don't follow their husband? I'll tell you why. Listen, everywhere Christ went, women followed him. You know why? They saw God in him. You got a good woman, I believe you women are good. Your husband called to the ministry, you better follow him. Why? Let me ask you a question. Why is it so hard for a woman to want to be married to a preacher? Would you rather be married to a wife beater? Would you rather be married to a drunkard? Is it that bad? Amen? One boy at the age of 6 years old named Freddie was asked about marriage. He said, no age is good to get married. He said, you got to be a fool to get married. I wonder where you learned that from. One boy at the age of 10 years old named Martin said this, on the first date, they tell each other lies. And that usually gets them interested enough for a second date. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, it takes time to get to know somebody. Amen. Your heart can deceive you. And you better make sure it's the will of God. You better fast and pray, because once you say, I do, that's it. Amen. Number three, look at Proverbs chapter 17. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. It ain't going to be long. Give you some things. It's good for you. It's good for you to be saved. It's good for you to get married. Amen. It's another thing. Now, I'm glad about this. Bible in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. There's your arthritis. Dries the bones. Right? I ain't trying to be nuts. I'll tell you, listen, let me tell you something right now. I've been in some elderly homes. And you know what? I've seen some people who are crabby, elderly people. Mean as can be, nasty. I don't want to wind up like that. You know what they are? They're bitter. And they always talk about how bad their kids been to them, and I kind of wonder after a while, how bad were they to the kids? Now, I understand you can raise on brats. I understand you can raise disrespectful kids and all that, but man, why is it that you have something against the whole world? Then I've been around some elderly saints who love God night and day. Amen. I mean, they just want to be around them. They love the Lord. I get these elderly saints come up to me, man, and they're like 78 years old. Man, for the young man, keep that fire. It's like, man, what a blessing. But you know, there are people just plain miserable. I was at a church one time, I'll never forget, and the preacher said, man, I'm not joking. He said this to me. Now, I don't try to be funny, and people laugh. I mean, I guess my facial expressions, my animation or whatever, I try to keep you awake, you know. People laugh. And this guy said, whatever you do, he says, when you preach, do not joke one bit. He said, if you make my people laugh one time, he said, you'll never come back here and preach. No joke. And I'm serious. You know, I won't go back and pray for him. You say, why? Is he a nice guy? Yeah, he loves the Lord. I believe he's called of God, and he's a good man. Loves, but his children are doing right and all that, but I can't preach in a church like that. Because, you know, you need humor. And it's good for you to laugh. Amen. Merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, Bible in Proverbs 15:13. I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you laughed? For some of you, if you laugh tonight, you might crack your face. Why don't you laugh? Why don't you laugh? You know, it's not a sin to laugh. It's not spiritual to look sad, coming here looking like an honest person. Ever see those people? Man, they're all depressed. You know why they're depressed? They all stink. They don't wear deodorant, amen. And that's, they got to stay in that closed compartment and smell it, amen. And they're right behind the horse, by the way, amen. Oh, come on, lighten up, right? And they, you know, and you got these guys coming in. Hi, brother. Come on, man. You laugh. You know what it is? We're living a day and age where people laugh at the wrong things. You know, little kids, they laugh at those stupid knock-knock jokes. You know, knock-knock, who's there? They laugh. You know what? Their hearts are right. But, you know, the more filthy it is, the more Americans laugh at it. There's something not right. And it's not wrong for you to laugh in the church house. We'll put away foolish jesting. That's talking about hurting someone by maliciously playing jokes and pranks on them. I'm not talking about that. Well, you know, you know what a sense of humor is? A sense of humor has been defined is what makes you laugh at something that would make you mad if it happened to you. Some of you get that later on, amen? You know, it takes 72 muscles to frown and 14 to smile. One guy said, he who laughs last, laughs slowest. Some of you get that later on, amen? Why do you look all sad and depressed tonight? Why do you look so miserable? You don't need to take yourself so seriously, no one else does. And if you feel good tonight, if you're happy tonight, why don't you notify your face? You know you can't laugh and be mad at the same time. You ever try it? Can you laugh and be worried at the same time? One time a Sunday school teacher said this, do you children say your prayers tonight? The Sunday school teacher asked. One boy said, my mother does for me. She says, thank God he's in bed. Amen. One time a mother was bringing a bucket of cow manure through the backyard. And the little boy asked what the manure was for. And the mother says, it's for the strawberries. He said, no thanks, Mom. I'll take mine with cream. Amen. Kids, man, they're innocent. Amen. One time a little girl was asked, what are you going to do one day when you get big like your mother? And the little girl said, go on a diet. Amen. One time a Sunday school teacher gave all the children an assignment that week to make someone happy. And the next Sunday, the Sunday school teacher said, how many of you have done so? I did, answer the boy. And said, that's nice, Johnny. What did you do? He said, I went to see my aunt. She's always happy when I'm gone. Amen. Some people are like that. Amen. But you know, medically speaking, laughter is good for you. It lowers your pulse. It lowers your heart rate. It lowers blood pressure and all that. It relaxes tense muscles. It's a medical fact that people who laugh live longer. One time it was an insane asylum patient that escaped. He climbed over the wall. One night he ran away and he saw a woman. It was a Catholic nun. He went nuts. And he grabbed her and they're wrestling on the front lawn, fighting one another and struggling with one another. And she's pushing him, he's pushing her. And after a while she looks at him and she catches her breath, this Catholic nun. She goes, sir, why are you doing this to me, sir? And he looks at her all serious and he says, you're not so tough tonight, are you, fat man? I thought it was funny, amen. Here's a mental hospital phone menu. Now, I'm not making fun of you if, you know, you're on these meds or something like that. I mean, I remember a guy come up to me. I read this one time. And a guy came up to me and goes, that wasn't funny. Right after service. And my wife, you know what my wife saw this guy confronting me. You know what she did? She shut the trailer door and locked it on me, amen. And I'm out there with this guy looking at me. You know, I was institutionalized. And I'm looking at him going, oh. Okay, you know. And then he goes, and there's another guy in there too. And he's on meds, and I think you hurt his feelings. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I was just joking, man, you know. Put down the gun. No, I'm just joking, amen. So, you know, say this as a disclaimer. The mental hospital phone menu, I thought it was pretty good. You know when you press the call the phone place and all these things like that, they answer this, please press this number. Well, hello and thank you for calling the state mental hospital. Please select from the following options menu. If you're obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you're codependent, please ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you're paranoid, we know who you are and what you want, stay on the line so we can trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be forwarded to the mothership. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully and you'll hear a little voice that will tell you which number to press. If you're manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, nothing will make you happy anyway. If you're dyslexic, press 96969696. If you're bipolar, please leave a message after the beep or before the beep or after the beep. Please wait for the beep. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have low self-esteem, please hang up. Our operators are too busy to talk with you. Here's a good one. So, if you're menopausal, put the gun down, hang up, turn on the fan, lie down and cry. You won't be crazy forever, amen? And if you're blonde, don't press any numbers. You'll just mess it up anyway. Love you, honey. There was one time, and if you know anything about Italians, an elderly Italian man was lying in his bed dying, and while suffering the agonies of impending death, he suddenly smelled the aroma of his favorite raviolis being baked, wafting up through the air. And he gathered his remaining strength and lifted himself from the bed, and gripping the railing with both hands, he crawled downstairs. And when he reached the bottom of the stairs, he leaned against the door frame, gazing into the kitchen. Were it not for death's agony, he would have thought himself already in heaven. For there, spread out upon wax paper on the kitchen table, were hundreds of his favorite ravioli. Was it heaven? Or was it one final act of love from his wife of 60 years of being married, seeing to it that he leave this world a happy man? He threw himself towards the table, landing on his knees in a crumpled posture. His parched lips, the wondrous taste of the ravioli was already in his mouth. With a trembling hand, he reached up to the edge of the table, when suddenly he was smacked with a wooden spoon by his wife. She said, "No! Those are for the funeral." Amen? Amen. It's good for you to laugh. Amen? Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. Last of all, I say it's good for you to be saved. Amen? It's good for you to be married. It's good for you to laugh. Last of all, Psalm chapter 119, verse 71. Bible in Psalm chapter 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Last of all, I want to say tonight, it's good to be afflicted. I want to say tonight, afflictions are for your good, believe it or not. And you need to ask God what he's trying to teach you. I mean, Lord, why is this happening? Lord, is there anything in my life I need to get right? You need to learn from your trials. I'm going to tell you, the longer you live, sometimes you think God's unfair and unkind and unjust and he's not all loving. And sometimes you get mad at God. Sometimes you may even curse God in your heart and say, "God, how dare you do this? And why do you do this? And why do you allow this in my life?" I was in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be thou weary with his correction." And when I was admitted to a hospital years ago in Pennsylvania, I remember talking to a young man. He's about 22, 23 years old with pancreatic cancer. Doctor gave him 6 months to live. I looked at him, I said, "You got to save mom?" He goes, "I got to save grandma." I said, "I bet you she's praying for you to get saved." He says, "Sure is." I said, "You know, had it not been for God afflicting you and afflicting me, I would not be here telling you the gospel." And he agreed. You know what? Your afflictions are for your own good. And you know what? God might want to use you in the ER. And God might want to use you at a funeral. I don't understand the ways of God. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? But I know that he does make all things well. And Paul was afflicted so that he wouldn't be exalted above measure. The Bible says the power of Christ may rest upon him. It's 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. And you know what? Your afflictions, I'm going to tell you tonight, will either humble you or harden you. And your affliction will either make you pray more or more proud. How many times have I seen people get knocked out because God's allowed some little trial in their life to happen? Instead of clinging to God, they question God's love. And your trials that God brings in your life is not to get you to ask God, does he love you? It's to get you to love him more. I'll tell you right now, I told my kids before, whether you're saved or lost, loved ones die. Whether you're saved or lost, people get run over. Whether you're saved or lost, people have miscarriage. I said, no matter what, one event happens to them all. I said, the bottom line is whether you have the Lord on your side or not. That's going to help you through the trials and testings in your life. David Brainerd said this, such hardships serve to wean me more from the earth, and I trust will make heaven the sweeter. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. You know you need to ask God to do? Ask God to deliver you out of the mess you're in today. Only God can help you. And God will put you in a position where you know what? All you can do is trust him. Psalm chapter 88, verse 9, David says, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. You know what I'm going to tell you tonight? That tears have a cleansing effect on the physical eye as well as the spiritual eye. And you know what? It's when God puts you through some trials and temptations, you cry your eyes out like a baby. Then you start to set your affection on things above. And I'm going to tell you right now, this life is a veil of tears. And calamities will happen in your life. And you're going to go through heartaches and suffering and sorrow and discouragement and depression. And you know what? You're not going to understand why, but it's for your own good. Looking back, it's for your own good. And some of you are not going to have your answer of why God took your husband or why God took your wife or why God took your 30, 40-year-old child years ago. You know what? God has a reason. And you know what? It's all going to be answered in sweet by and by. And you know what I'm going to say right now? There are Christians maybe even here tonight that are going through a rough time. There are people here right now that are shedding tears. You got no clue. They got to put on their happy face when they come to church. But deep inside, they're crying their eyes out asking God how they're going to make ends meet. God, my job is on the line. God, I ain't got... Amen? Is this reality? Psalm chapter 119, David says in verse 50, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. I'm going to tell you, the more things you go through in life, the more this book will mean to you. You know what? When you go through sufferings and trials and tribulations in your life and temptations, you know what book you run to? You don't run to the book of Jude. You don't run to the book of Revelation. You run to the book of Psalms. And you know what Psalms is? Psalms is an encouragement to you when you're going through a rough time. But you know what? You're being benefited by someone who has been broken. What am I saying tonight? Don't quit! So what are you getting at? Because there's going to come a testing, and there's going to come more trials in America with the economy going the way it is. Don't quit. Don't give up. Here's Naomi, and she's running down with her husband, the Moab, the washpot, leaving the house of bread, Bethlehem, because there's a famine in the land. But how come Boaz is doing well? You ever think about that? He's saying what God wanted him. Oh, preacher, you know, I just feel that God wants me to get this job and move 3 hours away and all this stuff and all that. No, might not be God's will, man. Preacher, I'm just going to miss church on Sunday evening and all that. That's not God's will. Amen. See, what I know excuses people use because I was a pastor too. And every time they said, I'm like, I'm making a mistake. But I couldn't say it because they were convinced it's the will of God. Amen. The Bible will mean more to you when you go through suffering. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, the Bible says in Romans 15:4, might have hope. You know what Jonah did? And said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord in Jonah 2:2. Why did Jonah cry to the Lord? You know what God did? God used affliction to bring Jonah back. Why? He was hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious. You know what I've seen? I've seen a lot of Christians suffer, not because of the cause of Christ, but because of their own sin. Many of you are in the mess you are in tonight. I say it with charity, of course. Please don't get me wrong. Because you chose to fight God. Some of you have been fighting God 10, 15, 20, 30 years about the call to the ministry. Amen. You know what? Well, you know, well, preacher, you know, this and all that and everything. Listen, sometimes you get afflicted because of your disobedience. I'm going to ask you now, are you disobeying God in any area of your life? Are you just too hard-hearted and hard-headed to listen? I've had people tell me, well, you know, brother, God knows I'm just stubborn. The Bible says stubbornness is idolatry. It's sin to be stubborn. Well, I'm stubborn in a good way. There's no such thing as a good beer and a bad beer. Amen? I'm going to ask you now, is God trying to get your attention? You know what? Some people will never come to the altar until they're in their funeral casket. Or come down to the funeral casket of someone they love. I can't understand. You know what I've learned? It's better to repent at the preaching than repent at the chastening rod of God. God does my heart. I'm at the altar. I'm going to tell you tonight, the good news is for you that are living right, and I believe many of you are living right tonight, you're living for God, your afflictions are only temporary compared to eternity. Praise the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight and glory." Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." William Booth said this, "All that pleases passes, all that troubles passes, only that which is eternal is permanent." Watchman Nee, we get a blessing from his books, and he wrote this in a communist prison in China. Spent most of his life in a communist prison in China, said this, "What a shame that today Christians view the good life as a life having few difficulties and little distress. Whenever they encounter anything painful, they ask God to take it away." You know what you need to do tonight? Don't ask God to change the circumstances. Ask God to change you. The best thing in the world you can do is, and you know what I've learned in this in the Christian life now, this may not be profound to you, but it helped me. Father, you're to take up your cross daily, right, brother? Now, you can choose to do that or not to do that, correct? All right, it depends on whether or not you want to deny the flesh, right? But one thing you cannot take up is a thorn. God gives it to you. Because if it's up to you, you won't take it up. And God gives you that thorn, and he sends a messenger of Satan to buffet you. See, Paul thought he'd be a better minister without the thorn. He wouldn't have been worth anything. For the power of Christ when I rest upon him to build and plant all those churches. Amen? For when I am weak, then am I strong. Say, "Preacher, you don't know the pain I'm going through." No, I don't know the bodily pain or the lung problems or the heart problems or the mental problems. I don't know all the stuff you're going through, but you don't know what I'm going through either. But you know what? You can't quit. You got to go on. Someone's watching you. And when you quit and get bitter at God, let me tell you something right now, parents. When you quit and get bitter at God because God allows something in your life, your kids are watching you. And when you decide to quit this church because God did something that you didn't think was fair, and I've been there, please, don't. I'm not casting stones at you. I'm not exalting myself. But listen right now, you'll regret it when your kids go out to the world. And then you want to get right with God. Then you're praying for them at 20 years old to get right with God. When you yourself turn them from God. Your parents, your kids are watching you. People in this church are watching you. And when you quit, it discourages them so much. You're an encouragement. The preacher, me coming in with a walker or a cane or chest pain or migraines or a back that's killing that game and sit comfortable and all that. Yes! You're an encouragement to someone here tonight to not quit, to keep going for God. Someone's watching you. I'll end with this story real quick. When Adoniram Judson, oh, great man of God, we talk about all these great missionaries, right, was dying. He was told that some Jews in Turkey got saved, got converted through reading the account of his sufferings in Burma. He told his wife, "This is good news. When I was a young man, I prayed for the Lord to send me to the Jews in Jerusalem as a missionary. But he sent me to Burma to preach and to suffer the tortures of imprisonment. Now, because of my sufferings, God has brought some Jews in Turkey to repentance." You know what I'm learning in the Christian life? It's not about you. It's all about him. And if he took those crowns and suffered for you, why aren't we to follow in his footsteps? Preacher, you say it's pretty rough. Yeah, it's high ground, but you know what? We need to trust the Lord. We really do. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? No one looking around. God spoke to your heart tonight. Why don't you come? You know who you are. Listen, maybe you're going through an affliction tonight. Maybe you can't come because of your health. Maybe you can't come because of your knees. I don't want you to feel that you've got to run down here and you can't kneel, and you can't get up. Don't do that. But if God spoke to you tonight, why don't you come? Are you learning tonight? Right now, God's allowing you to go through some things. Right now. Why don't you come? Say, "Lord, help me." Listen, some of you guys, listen, you can feel it tonight. It's heavy. It's heavy. Some of you got some real burdens. Why don't you come to the Lord tonight? Come to the altar. You know, you sing the song, "Take Your Burden to the Lord and Leave It There. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why don't you come tonight, whatever heartache you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, why don't you ask the Lord to teach you through the trials that he wants to teach you some things about. Are you fighting God? Are you making things harder on yourself? You know, it's good for you to laugh. Maybe some of you didn't even laugh tonight. You need to laugh. You need to enjoy life. Maybe some of you lost your joy. Would you come tonight? Say, "Preacher, church ain't a blessing to me. Bible reading ain't a blessing. I don't have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength." Why don't you come tonight? Get your joy back. Come on now. It's good for you to come. You know things ain't right. If you couldn't laugh tonight, there's something not right. If others around you were laughing and you weren't laughing, there's something not right. Hey, it's good for you to be married. Glad you're married tonight? Why don't you tell your spouse, thank God for you. You have a good spouse? Are you single? Oh, preacher, I want to get married. I want to get married so bad. It's never worked getting married out of the will of God. Ask anybody. I can say I've been to over 200 churches and I hear the accounts. Pray for my lost husband to come. I should have listened to my preacher. I should have listened to my parents. Or pray for my lost wife. I should have listened. My kids don't come. Man, what a mess. It's good for you to be saved, last of all. Who are you tonight that's lost? You know who you are. You're not saved. You want to be saved tonight? Hey, preacher, is that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. Christ paid it all. All you got to do is turn from your sin. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. All you got to do is, number one, admit you're a sinner. Say, God, I'm a sinner. Can you at least admit to that? You're a sinner. You know that, right? The Bible says, I shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You ever take God's name in vain? Ever steal? Thou shalt not steal. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Ever want something that's not yours? Then you already broke three commandments. You're lost here tonight. You're not saved. When do you think is the best time to get saved? Oh, tomorrow. Here's Moses standing before Pharaoh. But when do you want the frogs to leave? Tomorrow. A little girl, years ago, they had a movie called A Little Orphan Annie. She's saying, tomorrow, tomorrow. Well, tomorrow may be too late. Why don't you get saved tonight? You got to believe Christ died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures on the third day. You got to realize you're going to hell. You know you're going to hell without Christ. Okay, preacher, I'm going to shake this off. I'm going to leave like I normally do. Well, you know what? When you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you must be born again. When you turn up that stereo as you're driving off, you must be born again. And you know what? You're going to see my face at the judgment. It ain't a pretty face either. And you're going to see my face at judgment, and you're saying, I didn't know! The Lord's going to say, that preacher told you. I'm going to tell you why people go to hell. I'll say it again. You're proud. Last of all, you got to ask Christ to come into your heart. Well, I can't find it anywhere in the Bible where God saves a man without wanting to be saved. You got to be willing to repent and ask Christ to save you. Is anybody here lost tonight, real quickly? I ain't going to point you out. I ain't going to drag you down. Anybody here tonight lost? Would you raise your hand? Real quickly, would you raise your hand? Raise your hand up high. You're lost here tonight. You're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're born again. Real quickly, no one's looking. Would you raise your hand? You're not saved. You're not born again. You don't have eternal life. You're afraid you will go to hell. Would you raise your hand real quickly? Anybody here tonight? I'll tell you what. If you're lost here tonight, I'm going to be kneeling at the altar. If you want to come and get saved, kneel with me. You stand in front of everybody? Why not? It's better than going to hell, ain't it? He wasn't ashamed to die for you. Why are you ashamed to live for him? Preacher.